Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. How are you guys? Of course, you know I'm running, trying to get back to my post here. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us this morning on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting with mothers and daughters around the world, literally around the world. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you say something long enough, it's surely to come to pass. God says, whatever you say and believe in your heart and don't doubt it, you shall, the word is shall, receive it. And I'm telling you, you shall receive it. That's all I'm going to say. You shall receive it. Thank God for his word. Thank God for Jesus that came to deliver the word. It's just amazing. All I'm going to say, mothers and daughters out there, pay attention, follow the instructions, and whenever something comes and try to pull you, a thought comes, try to pull you out of the thought that you know is the truth, quickly cast it down and get yourself aligned back with the truth. The truth is what will manifest for your good. Anything else? It's an experience that you don't want to experience. And it's an experience that you don't have to experience. There again, you choose. You choose. You choose the truth, or you're going to choose a lie. But whichever one you choose, that's the one that you will experience. And that's the truth. So joining me today is my two co-hosts, Deborah Tyler and Cynthia Oliver. And we are here to share what God has placed on our hearts. Our subject matter is given to me in the morning by the Holy Spirit. I look at it. I don't write it down. I just say, okay, I release myself to you, Holy Spirit, and you speak. Because I didn't come up with the title. And every Saturday morning, it's amazing, amazing what the Holy Spirit says through each of us. Three different individuals, three different journeys, and he'll take all three of them and plait it as if you're braiding hair. And anything that's three strands has strength. And that's the way I see the team for the Blog Talk Radio and talking to mothers and daughters around the world. The Holy Spirit, take the word from each of us and braid it. And then he seals it at the end. And it's there for all to hear for eternity. Anything's recorded, anything's written, it's subject to show up 1,000 years from now. Because it's been created. And all creations have a purpose. So with that said, let me go and find my host. here. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am.
Good job.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good.
Well, good morning, audience. How are you guys? Oh, it's
good to be on this side
of heaven, girl. Good job. Good job.
Yeah.
I say good job. Everybody's doing well.
Everybody's doing good. We refuse to hear anything else but good. Today is a day we're going to live in the law of good. We're going to make it happen. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How's it going?
It's going good.
Good morning, Deborah.
Going good. Praise the Lord. It's going good.
It's going good. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. It's been an exciting week for me this week. I'll take off on my journey. It's been exciting. Every day was an exciting conversation, an exciting connection. It was just good, good, good. And I think about Thursday, I told someone, I said, you know, I feel so good. I feel like I could just jump out of my window and just run down the street. And I'm on the third floor, so, you know, it's pretty high. But it, that's the way I feel. But it's just amazing the things that God is putting together, and as they send stuff that is being developed to me, and I'm looking at it going, look at God, look at God. He will do what he said he's going to do. And we've been saying this for years. I've been saying it for 12 years. 12 years. Good morning, mothers and daughters. I'm speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. You say it long enough, it will manifest. That's why I said, no matter what you say to God, no matter what you ask him for, you believe in your heart, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, that is the pledge right there. Don't doubt it. It will come to pass. It will show up. So, good week this week for me. Health-wise, I feel good. Haven't had any of those little dull headaches this week. My eyes are good. I feel energized. It has just been a week of pure energy for me, and I just thank God for that. So, that's my take. All right. Deborah, how was your week?
Our week was pretty smooth. Didn't have any rough patches and, you know, no 0 to 100 moments, you know, so God is good. It was a pretty good week, you know, so just thank God. Today's my brother's birthday, and I'm just, I don't know what got over me, but I've just been, you know, posting stuff about thankfulness, just being thankful. We coming into that holiday, that spirit of Thanksgiving, and I've just been, you know, I just want to tell everybody that I appreciate them just listening. They come on every Saturday morning. Just thank you for your time and for your ear, for your prayers, and for your continued commitment to be a part of. So thank you, everybody, for being in my life. I just want to say thank you.
Grateful. That's good. That's good. Because people do come, and they come from all over. Either they listen to us live or they listen to us in archives, and it's just amazing. Like I said, I try not to get wrapped up into that stuff, because if you do, then you somehow think that you're doing something. And I think that's what feeds your ego. So I try not to do it, but every once in a while I'll look at the feed and demographics and go, wow, you know, and I just say that and keep it moving. It is. We do thank the audience, and we do appreciate it. I thank you, Deborah, for taking time off your schedule for coming on. You came on as a guest, and you've been on ever since. So, you know, it was intended. we realized that God had sent you. All right, Cynthia, how was your week?
Yes, ma'am. My week was good. It was good. It was productive. I'll just put it that way. You know, I'm in a new place, so sometimes I don't know what to do with myself other than just go out to the store. But I had a good week. I won't complain. Thank you, Lord. I will not complain. All is well.
Very good. Very good.
Amen. Just trying to get acclimated in this new space.
Yeah, and you know, and that's exciting too, because you got you, as they could say, you grow new brain cells. When you see, when your eyes capture on something new, it creates new brain cells because your brain has to interpret what that means to you and process that stuff. So you grow in new brain cells. It's an exciting moment to be in a new territory. I think what happens is that
Amen.
We sometimes get complacent when we're in the same place. People stay the same place for 30 and 40 years, and I'm not saying something wrong with that, but every once in a while, you have to go on vacation. That's why people go on vacation. They have to break up the visuals that they see. They see the same thing every day. You're not growing. You have to look at movies. You have to read books. You have to take a walk. You know, I mean, do something. Go to Google, research something. Because if you don't, you'll get complacent, and then you'll just really, your brain will fry because it will not have anything to grow new cells. So I think it's an exciting time for you guys to be able to be close to Al's family and be able to give you an opportunity to do some of the things that you want to do. It's a blessing.
Amen. Amen. I'm definitely excited about it, and just excited to see what God has for us in this upcoming year. You know, I start my new job as far as teaching at the community college here in Tallahassee, and doing some other things with another university, and just continue to do what God has called me to do. I'm good. I dare not complain. Like you, Deborah, say, I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. Like you said, I'm just grateful, and just thanking God, and just every day that He allows us to be able to wake up and be about in our right mind, child. Please, that right there is a hallelujah right there.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, then. Sounds like we're all on track. And audience out there, what we're doing, we're not faking it for you. This is real. You know, I just absolutely said to myself, you can decide to live in the what if, what happens, and hope, Bessie, or you can live in the Word of God. And I just decided to make a shift in my life. I said, you know what? I'm going to live in the great I am. I am going to live in the grace of God. And I'm telling you, things shift in my spirit. So if that works for you, try it, because it's there. It's nothing that you have to ask God to create. He's already created everything you need. There's nothing that you can think of that He didn't put it in your mind. You didn't just come up with that. God created that. He placed that thought in your mind, either to see what you're going to choose, life or death. But you better believe there's nothing happening in your life that God is not aware of. Not even a bird falling from the sky that God don't recognize, or the hair on your head that one fell out. So if He knows that a strand of hair came out of your head, then He knows what you're thinking. He said, I know your thoughts before you even think it. So think about that. If you thought about it and it's good, it's going to manifest. If you thought about it and it's bad, it's going to manifest. It just depends on you, whether you're going to cast that bad one down and hold on to that good. You choose. So that brings us to our topic this morning. Has nothing to do with that. I guess. I don't know. I'll take that back, ladies. It could. The topic this morning is the role of a daughter. And, you know, as we were talking, as I was talking this morning, I know people say I'm hard on mothers. And it's not that I'm hard on mothers. It's that mothers are responsible, ladies. Mothers are responsible. And they are here first for a reason, to gather information, to gather wisdom and understanding. So if God chose you to have another human, or to bring another human into the world, that you would have some reference, some wisdom, some understanding of how to live for Him and demonstrate that for your daughter. So that's what we're going to talk about, ladies, and I'm going to come back and pick you up. And I'm sorry. Oh, my God, we went too far this morning. Cynthia, could you give us a prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Father, we come thanking you, Lord, for this. It's the day that you have made, and we have decided to be joyful in it. We have determined to be happy in and content in whatever you have for us and whatever you may allow to come. So, Father God, we are determined to trust you in it all, for it is you, Father God, that rules the world. It is you that the whole world is in your hands, and that we know that you're in control because of your sovereignty, and because of your sovereignty, we know that you're able. And because you're able to do whatever you want to do with whoever and whatever you want to do with it, because it all belongs to you, we are grateful, Father God. And we say thank you today. We thank you for our audience. We thank you for our leader, Dr. Fletcher, and her following instructions and wanting to stay. And Father God, we thank you that you sent Deborah. We thank you for myself, and that we are in obedience to the Holy Spirit. We know, Father God, that this is a journey. And we thank you, Father God, that we could stay or leave. And we thank you that you've given us a heart to want to be in your will for our lives. For it is in your will that it shall come to pass. It is in your instructions that it shall come to pass. So we thank you for instructions. We thank you for your precious promises. We thank you that you're a God that cannot lie. We thank you are who you say you are, and our lives is a result of who you say you are and who you created us to be if we just walk in your will, because your will be done. And with that, Father God, we say thank you. Happy birthday to Deborah's brother and her gratefulness for her family and for the mother and daughter family. And we just say thank you, Father God. For you are worthy to be praised. This day, you are worthy to be praised, because you said if we don't praise you, the birds and the rocks will cry out to you. And so while we don't want the rocks and the birds to take our place of giving you praise, because you are absolutely worthy to be praised. And we just say thank you this morning. We pray that something will be said that will be a change agent, for the beginning of change for mothers and daughters around the world. And so with that, Father, we say amen, and give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, Deborah. I wasn't quite sure what you said. I meant to ask you who you said had a birthday. I didn't know if you said it was your mother. And I thought a mother just had a birthday. I was so busy trying to calculate that. It's your brother.
Brother, yes.
I was going to say, mother done pulled one on you now. She got another birthday.
Yeah, you know it.
As you were saying that, I thought, oh, see, that's how, and I missed it. Now I was thinking in my mind. I was just thinking while you were talking. I said, oh, she just had a birthday. That's how. She just had a birthday. Okay.
Yeah,
okay, mama. We sorry. I'm sorry.
No, but she be thinking every month her birthday, though, for real. You ain't
following. I want y'all to remember me. You know, every time you think about me, go out and, you know, I could use a little something. Go ahead and do that. Well, happy birthday to your brother. What's his name?
Jeffrey.
Okay. Happy birthday to Jeffrey. All right. Okay. We hope that he has many, 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 many more birthdays.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know why. That. I just thought you had sisters. I'm embarrassed. I never really knew you had a brother. I'm serious. I know the nephew. I didn't
know
that.
Yes, I do.
I'm going back now, because I remember you say he used to, when the oldest one used to be on the phone while your mom was going, he'd come out and check on you and go back up because he's talking to the girls. I remember. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I'm 21 and a half now, girl. I, you know, every once in a while, something may slip. All right. I'll come back and pick you ladies up in just a moment. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right,
mothers and daughters around the world, I am here to say to you this morning, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just going to build on what Deborah was saying. You know, we want you to know that we always appreciate you. I mean, it's just amazing that we're still going on. I mean, you know, don't even think about this. It's a part of living. It's a part of life that we just get up on Saturday morning. And we know, even though we have other jobs during the week, you know, working for the Lord, I work with the ministry. And now with the Mother-Daughter Global Movement, we got so many things going on there, so many pieces that's, branches from the vine that's spewing out now, that I found myself getting overwhelmed, but then God just brought a peace over me this week, and it just seems like I just do what I do and say, okay, I got that done, boom, you know, boom, 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 do this, got that done, boom, and it just all falls in line for me. So when you find your peace, things work in order. I'm just sharing my testimony on that. It just made a lot of difference in my life. No stress, no pressure. Everything's smooth. You just do what you do. And when you finish it, you finish it. And I've said, and I've really learned, I've been fighting trying to get off the computer, fighting trying to sit down and relax and enjoy a movie, fighting because every time I sit to watch a movie or something, my mind would keep telling me, oh, no, but you know you didn't do that. You were supposed to send that email, or you didn't call that person back, or, you know, jot this down and get up and write that down. I got to sit down with a pad beside you. Who needs all of that? And then all of a sudden, things aligned for me through conversations with God, of course. And once it aligned, it's like something shifted this week, and I'm just like, oh, not that serious. Just do what you do. Yesterday when I did a couple things and I finished a couple projects, I said, okay, I'm done. Now 4:30, turn the computer off and I left. When I came back, no, I'm not turning it on because I finished all that I plan to accomplish for today. It's like being born again. So anyway, I don't want to just keep harping on that, but I'm saying it for a reason. Because I know there's somebody out there struggling, juggling, and trying to do, as most of us do, 10, 12 things at one time, like we're a superwoman, a man, when we got the superpower in us that can operate it on a smooth base, and you don't even have to have that ripple effect of stress and worry. Just let the superpower in you work it. Today we're talking about the role of a daughter. And again, like I said, sometimes, you know, I hear, and I get this comment from people. It's like I give mothers a hard time. No, mothers were placed in a role to become a mother. They were given a certain amount of years to prepare themselves. It's just like the 10 brides, the 10 virgins, you know, they were just supposed to meet the groom. They knew the groom was coming. They knew he was coming. And they got all dressed up, put on their very best to come out and wait. They didn't know exactly. They knew he was coming. They didn't know exactly the hour that he was coming. They had an idea that it might be in that day. But what time? They may have gotten out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they waited and they waited and they waited. He didn't show up. Then the evening came. The sun's going down. It's getting dark. And all of a sudden, they can't see. We need to have light. 5 of them brought a lantern and brought extra oil just in case that they had to wait all night long. They wanted to prepare for the journey and the wait. The other 5 just came, assuming that it was going to happen during the day. I'm paraphrasing here. Not knowing that it could be 11:59 at night before the groom came. So they said to the other 5, can we have some of your oil? And they did have some. Because they did say, hours have run out. They said, no, we're not going to give you hours. We came prepared just in case. So we'd have enough. So what does that tell you? We have to be prepared. And mothers, God has given you a certain amount of years to be ready just in case he calls your name. Just in case he says, you know what? I need to send this thought of this human through Bessie. But the thing I think that we do, we grow up, we see our mothers, we see our grandmothers, we see our aunties, we see our teachers, we see our neighbors, we see our cousins. We see the many women that surround us. Each of them are different, and each of them have a life and a journey of their own. And somewhere along the line, we really extract something from each of them. And that's good if it's good stuff. Sometimes we extract stuff that's not good because we can see one auntie over there doing what she does and you're like, it's not the right thing to do. But to you, that's my favorite auntie. She's doing it. She's okay. She's making it. So I can do it. But I believe in my heart and soul that the role model for the daughter should be first and foremost the mother. And the reason I say that is because you have 9 months with that daughter while you're carrying her. You got 9 months to connect to that to the earth before anybody else get a chance to whisper in her ear, get a chance to touch her physically. You have the chance because she's always connected to you. You touch her physically from conception. She is growing inside of you. You can see the growth. You can feel the growth. You can hear her heart. That is your time. That is your time to capture her attention, to let her know who you are, to let her know that you're going to be there for her, to let her know when you come out into this earth, you have nothing to worry about because I'm with you. From the beginning to the end, you will never have to worry about being in this world by yourself. You can always come to me. I'm your mother. And I want you to know, you look to me as I look to God. And I'm going to grow you up as a godly woman. Whatever you tell that child inside of your womb, she hears you. She feels you. She nurtures on what you eat and what you drink. So you determine the role of your daughter mothers. If the daughter comes out and she is irritable, most people call it colic. I don't know if that's a thing that people use today or not. And the baby's just crying and upset, and you're trying to figure out, well, what is wrong with her? She's not at peace. She didn't have a peace for 9 months. Can you imagine being tormented for 9 months in the side of a womb of a woman that's acting crazy out in the earth, talking crazy, smoking and drinking and cursing and fighting? And then you expect for the child to come out differently? The child had to hear all of that noise, had to be tossed around, shook up because you dealing with some issues. You weren't prepared. You were not prepared to be a mother. And that's the role of the daughter. As is the mother, so is her daughter. not so much after she's born, but while she's in a sacred place, in a place where there should be peace, in a place where there should be nurturing. Had the mother prepared, had the extra oil, just in case if she had to take the long road? Well, I had a boyfriend and he left me. Or my husband left me. Or my husband, he's mean to me. Or I'm going through domestic violence. You still got to prepare as if you're waiting to be chosen to be a mother. You can't just wait until it happens and then decide, oh, what do I do? No, you have to prepare. Be ye ready, because you don't know the hour. You don't know the second that your name will be called. And God will say to you, I am of need of you. I'm in need of you. I need you to bring this human into the earth. And he said, oh, Lord, I'm not ready. How many people feel that, you know, mothers that have, young ladies that have became pregnant, and they are scared to death because they says, I'm not ready. I didn't want to have a child now. And some people choose not to. And some people say, you know what, I'm not ready, but I got to go and I got to do this. And they struggle. Some people have a grandmother that's there. Some people have their mother. Some ladies have their mothers there, their grandmothers, their aunties. Some people that will come around, camp around them. Don't worry about it, baby. We'll show you what you need to do. You're young. You wasn't ready, but the baby is here. Now the baby's here, but 9 months, the baby was going through fear because that mother encased fear in her mind and paralyzed the thought and the temperament of the daughter with fear. So when you have a little girl that's running around and says, oh, mommy, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. Oh, well, you don't have nothing to be scared of. Why are you scared? He's like, I don't understand why she's scared. Because you were afraid. You frightened her. In the 9 months, you frightened her. And of course she's scared. That's the role of the daughter. And if you're not careful, mother, and you don't go back in there to find out how can I help reverse these things, she will grow up as a scared, intimidated little girl, a teenager, wanting someone to like her, don't want nobody to see that she's afraid, trying to be a big girl so she joined the group that she thinks is going to motivate her. They'll like me because they'll see I'm tough, but I'm actually really a scared little girl. I don't want them to know who I am from within, so I pretend to be somebody else. And then she messes around and she go around and she get to this gentleman that she thinks is the love of her life. And then he overtakes her because she still has that fear. She can't speak up. She don't know who she is. She don't know how to control herself. So she submits herself to the greater power and hope that that person will like or love them. And then she moves into her 20s. And then she has a child. She's get pregnant, and those same fears pass through her to her daughter. And then we got another generation of fear, another generation of conformity, another generation that really don't know the truth, that you're free, and that God is in you, and that all things are possible through you. That's the role of your daughter, a role that she didn't create, but yet she's got to play it out She's got to act it out into the world. The person that she herself don't even know. All right, Cynthia, the role
yes,
of the
ma'am.
Daughter.
Well, back to Ezekiel 16:44, ask the mother, so is the daughter. And you shared the scenarios of the mother's role in order that the daughter can be everything that she was created to be. If the mother fails in that area, then the daughter may not be. Three things that stuck out for me. The daughter may struggle, as you suggested, to make her mother proud by doing good. She may not be as responsible or respectful as she could be to her mother as a result of her failure. And that goes back to the oil. If she have not been blessed by her mother, I think about the oil and how the mother are supposed to pray over her children and have and prepare her. If she's not prepared, then therefore she can't be prepared to be who she was created to be. And the daughter's responsibility is to let her mother and her parents know that they're loved by her. But again, when a mother has failed her daughter, then the daughter struggles to do and be all these things that she was created to be. And so when that happens, I can only speak for me. It took me a very long time to be the mother that I needed to be because I didn't have the mother-daughter relationship to model after being a mother. I had a great grandmother who was a disciplinary, and she raised me based on those measures because that's what she knew. But that nurturing piece I did not have. And so when I became a mother, I did not know how to mother my children for years, for the first 10 years of their lives. And so I couldn't be that responsible daughter or mother. I was responsible, work, took care of them. But there was a lack of respect that I had for my own family because I didn't have that peace. And then I knew I loved my children, absolutely, without a doubt. I knew I loved my mother, but I didn't have a relationship with her. And so I didn't do these things when my mother, only the last 6 months of my mother's life that I and her had a relationship to the point where I was being responsible, going to see her, let her know that I love her. And my mother came, I had two graduations prior to my mom passing, but my mother came to my last graduation. So I did do good so my mother could be proud of me. And I think that was the proudest moment of my school career because I'm a career student. I'm a life learner. And so those other two graduations that I had, they were milestones in my life. Absolutely. I was happy about it. But that third one, when my mother showed up, that was the graduation that I remember most because my mother was there. She showed me in that moment that she loved me, that she was proud of me, and that she was there for me. And a mother is supposed to teach her daughter these things in order that she can turn around and do these things for her, be respectful, show her that she's proud of her. And so when you have that missing piece, it's really, really difficult unless you determine to learn how to be a good daughter, to be a good mother. It's real difficult to struggle in that fear, as you pointed out, because that fear is real. you think you're going to fail as a mother because somehow being a daughter, you felt that you failed because mommy wasn't there. And that's something that we grow up with. You grow up thinking, why aren't she here? You grow up angry. Why isn't she here? And so all of these things put a damper on being a good daughter and holding that daughter's responsibility. Because like you said, God gave mothers a responsibility and he has given daughters a responsibility. But when mommy fails, daughters struggle to step into that responsibility. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yeah, that's powerful. As you were talking, I was thinking, you are the baby of the first four, right? And
yes, ma'am.
When you all were taken or moved from your mother, being that baby, what, 17 months old, that's young. That's a baby. And you can imagine if during that time, she had to have gone through struggles when she was pregnant with you in order for things,
absolutely,
most likely, I'll say it like that, most likely, for things to fester to the point where, you know, you all were taken from her, but not by her will. But I was just thinking, what did you experience during that time? Because, you know, I could imagine her being upset, you know, maybe having a lot of discussions, strong discussions with your father and just trying to see how she can make it all work to keep her children. Here you are coming out of the midst of that into the world. We all came, you know, and it had an effect on you.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't up with the grace of God that you led to things that you could read and wisdom and understanding. And I look back at, you know, my mother was a teenage mother. She became pregnant with me at 18 and just had to come out of school. You know, here she was, a young teenage mother, 18. Well, back then, you know, they were, you know, working farms, and my granddaddy owned a large hundreds of acres of land, so they were constantly working. But she had me, and she was at home with her parents, so therefore I was born in that arena of having my grandmother and everybody around. But you know, she went through some things because, from what I understood, that the young man wanted to marry and she just didn't want to marry him. Now, that was her choice and she did marry him. But there had to be a struggle there. There had to be something going on that was like, wow, I'm pregnant. Because back then, you getting pregnant as a teenager, you know, people didn't look on you like they do today. So I'm sure there was a struggle. But somehow or another, she pulled it out. You know, and then she met my dad, and I just thank God that she put a lot of emphasis on trying to teach me, and probably from her mistakes. Now that I'm sitting here listening to you today and talking about this subject matter, it really just brought her back to my mind as well. What was she going through at that time? Just a thought.
It's interesting.
Yeah. We all came, I mean, that's why I tell people, don't try to act like you're almighty, because we all came from some type of situation that could have been crippling to us, but only the grace of God that he connected us to the right people or bring the right people in our lives, that he helped us. And we had to really listen and make decisions like right now. And then what we're supposed to do is grow up to get wisdom. So that's why he said the older women, you go back and you help the younger women, because now you done been through some things, you done seen some stuff, and you got some experiences. Teach that to the younger women to help them avoid some of the pitfalls of life.
Amen. Deborah? Dr. B, allow me to just interject here with Psalms 45:10. And just what you just said, that's what God says. Listen, old daughter, give attention and incline your ear. Forget the people and your Father's house. In other words, we are to move forward. We are to rise up and become everything that God has created us to be, despite these things. Not because life has happened. Because life has happened, we are to rise up and become everything that God has created us to be, despite you didn't have your mother, despite y'all don't have a good relationship. We are to be better, not better than your mother, but a better person so God can use us. Thank you for allowing me to share that. That's Psalm 45:10.
Okay. Deborah?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I tell you, that scripture I got out, so I don't have to say that one about learning. And, you know, I'm going to just jot some notes down. And one of the things I came up with, you know, with daughters in the role, and you know, even from the womb, like you say, you got 9 months, sometimes 8, sometimes 7, sometimes 5. But whatever you got, it's you and mom. Wherever mom goes, it's you. And yes, you're picking up some of those things that's coming through that umbilical cord that is being transferred, emotional and mental. And like you say, all those things that's happening in your life is being transferred from the mama. And so you come out with the bad temperament. You come out kicking and fucking in. You already shaped and born in iniquity. You come out sinning. We might have got to teach you how to lie and steal and all of that. But God is saying, mothers, I need you to be that teacher. Act like a professor for me in the school. You know, the teachers are the moms, just a scenario, a parallel example. Professors, and you put moms there. They're supposed to teach in the thing that they specialize in, because we know that everybody don't know everything. We know that some teachers specialize just in math, so they're going to be a genius probably in that area. And the mom might not know math. She might know English, so she's going to give you what she got. And then when you become a certain age as a daughter, you got to learn how to get the rest of the subjects that mom didn't give you. So mom gave you what she got writing, she got reading, that's all she got. You got to learn how to get the math, the social science, and the place to study. And so God is saying, hey, when you get of age, you're responsible for learning. He says, be wise in Proverbs. It says, be wise. Hold on, let me get pull it up. Where did it go? Proverbs 1:5. It says, a wise man will hear. So daughters, you need to hear what the lesson is. Life is a whole lot of lessons, a whole lot of learning and getting understanding and wisdom and then applying it in those areas. And sometimes we don't always get the lesson because we ain't hearing as a daughter. We don't block some stuff out because mom's getting on my nerve. So I ain't going to school today. I'm not taking the lesson of how to be a woman and a lady and how to be responsible and be committed to the goal and the things that you say you're gonna do. I'm not learning today because I'm mad. It's like the teacher gave you a D, so you don't want to go to school tomorrow. But life is about showing up even when you fail and learn where you fail from. So those are responsible at a certain age. You can't say, "Well, my mama didn't give it to me," because mama don't know writing, or she knows writing. Whatever I said, she didn't know. She knows writing. She don't know math. So now you gotta learn how to get the math from somewhere else. So from a godmama, from a stepmama, from any other female figure that might have mastered the other languages or the English and whatever it is that you don't know, we're responsible as daughters to get that information. God is saying, I gave you your mother, I had you attached to her in the womb. There's some things you might have picked up that I didn't agree with because mom didn't have it all together then. And so God is saying, now when you get of age, you know right from wrong, you can decide good from evil. You're responsible for getting this help, because now it's going to be daughter going to be held accountable in front of God. Not that my mom didn't give it to me. Now you of age where there was other people, there was my word that you could read and you could write. And he said, get understanding. He said, get it. He said, wise man hear and will increase in learning. Proverbs 1:5. And a man of understanding, man, woman, shall attain unto a wise counselor. And another scripture says, give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. teacher, just man, and he will increase in his learning. So God is saying he's going to be constantly learning. You're going to constantly learn. You're going to have different teachers, but mom is giving you the best she got. She ain't good in math. She ain't good in science. So you get what you can get from mom, and then you now you're held accountable because you're of that age, you know, right and wrong, and you got to learn them other subjects in order to pass the class of life. So I believe that it's important that the daughter play the role as a student, as listening, as hearing, as in taking that information, as storing information, as applying information, and God is going to hold us responsible as daughters, saying, I gave you my word. Okay, your mom only knew English, but I gave you my word. And in my word, there's ways to be guided, instructed, how to live. He talks about it. You know, hey, follow my word. Follow this. Follow my lead. It's all here. So we can't say, mom didn't give it to me now. Because, hey, mom say, well, I did the best I could, Lord. You know, I only gave her what I had. God said, okay, now she's 20 now. She's 20. She 13. Let's break it all down. She 10. She know right from wrong. She know not to go in the store and put nothing in that pocket that don't belong. She know right from wrong. She could read. She could recite them songs and all them word for word. You can read the word. You can read and understand. God is saying he holds us responsible. So I'm not saying mom getting off the hook when they get 10 or 12 or whatever. But he's saying, hey, give them what you got. Because sometimes they ain't got all the subjects. Like I say, she might just have writing. And she do the best she can. And your mother folks subjects that you need to graduate, they say school, you're going to have to get it how you can. If you can read, you can write, you can read the word, you know, I'll be kind and loving and forgiving. The basic things that God say, you know, he holding us responsible. He said, now you've been taught. Now I need you to apply your learning and show me you understand and apply and show me that you're wise with your understanding. And that's our role as daughters, till what age you get old enough to understand word and know right from wrong, God said you're going to be at a convert. So we got to just lead them to the word. If we don't know, lead them to the word, go to the word with them. Hey, come on, let's go read the word and see what God is telling us, not what God say what he wants you to do. But this God say, don't provoke your parents. I mean, don't honor your parents anymore. But he also provides us say, hey, don't provoke your children to evil. Let them know, parents, hey, light it up. There's a line there for a reason. God said, don't cross the line. Kids, you go there, you don't cross it. Parents, you go there, you don't cross it. Because he said, we all got feelings and emotions. We all got stuff going on, even at a young age. Like you said, come out kicking and fighting with a temperament. We all got things we got to work on. God is saying, mother, you give her the best you can. And when she get old enough, she's going to have to do it on her own. You can guide her and all of that, but she's going to be held responsible. When she come to me and stand in front of me, I'm going to say, you were 25 and you were disrespecting your mama. You was 25 and you was cheating on your taxes. You was 25 and you was doing a whole lot of. You was 19. You was 15 and you was sitting. Oh, God is gonna hold this responsible. So we gotta get it up. Show them what we got. Give them what best we can as mothers, as godmothers, aunties. We gonna give them the best we can, and at the same time we learn it too. So like I say, I'm the oldest student in the class, but I'm with the young folks. I'm just letting them know, hey, I ain't above. I'm learning too. We all in this thing together. I didn't get some of this stuff, so I'm here learning too. And God is saying, I'm holding you responsible, devil. I'm holding you responsible. For what I taught you to teach to the young kids while you sitting in the class with them, and when you get on break and you get that number and all that, I'm holding you responsible. To try to encourage them, inspire them, and be like you don't be 50 trying to get a degree. You know, you still don't get off the hook with God. He said, you got a responsibility. So I play my role as a daughter, and I play my role as an auntie and as a godmama, whatever else I am when I'm in that school with them young kids. And I might have went way off, but I praise the Lord. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. Amen. You know, I like that role as you said, the student, that role of the daughter as a student. And what came to my mind was, you know, when Angie was little, my daughter, you know, like I tell everybody, my mother, you know, she read the 23rd Psalm. I don't care. It was in the bathroom. That Bible was open in the bathroom, the 23rd Psalm. Whenever my mother had anything that's on her mind, it was like, that was it. She go in that bathroom, close that door. I don't know what else she read, but I know she read that 23rd Psalm first. And I grew up like that. So I grew up reading the 23rd Psalm. And whenever something wrong, you know, you call on Jesus. She taught me that. And then you read the 23rd Psalm. And So I raised my daughter the same way. But not then. She had a great-grandmother, a great-great-grandmother, that taught her from the Bible, and I was teaching her from the Bible. But I noticed when, what I learned was when my grandson, my first grandson was born, I bought him a little Bible of his own. And that was his Bible, and we read, and it had the pictures and everything, you know, the animals and Jesus. And he got accustomed to that. And I did it for my second grandson. Now with my great-grandson, Connor, I bought him one, and they would read it to him. He got so attached to that Bible that he would start crying, Bible, 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 and everybody got to go find the Bible. And I was watching him. I said, you know, see, as we get older in wisdom and stuff, you know, it just, I'm just looking at the difference. Bible, they get him the Bible, and he read that thing, and he would just sit for hours and go through that Bible and tell you Jesus and the animals. So he told a darn thing up. So I said, how in the world did you tear the Bible up? Crying one day, I'll never forget. This is about 2 months ago. He was crying because of the Bible. Nobody could find the Bible, the pieces of the Bible that was left. That boy showed up. So to, I told Angie, I said, well, I'm going to go back to the service station. I bought it as I was traveling down to Florida, just at one of the Flying J's. I said, when I go back through, I'll get him one. She said, well, Mama, let's look on Amazon. We looked on Amazon, and there it was. Of course, you know, Amazon. I'm not doing a commercial, but Amazon. We ordered the book, and Angie said, well, I'll just buy this one. I said, no, I'll buy it. Because that's what I wanted to give him. And even though he wore the other one out, I'm going to buy him this one. We ordered, came back, it came the next day. And you should have seen the smile on his face when I gave him that package, and we watched him open that. We had to cut it, you know, of course, at the top. And we watched him go in there, and he saw that thing and started jumping up and down. The little Bible got a little handle on it. And he was jumping, Bible, Bible. And when you were talking about being a student, I was like, you know, I told Angie, I said, he'll forever keep the Bible in his hand. That's a role model right there. And that's what we have to do. Teach our daughters to be the student. Thank you for sharing that. That's what I got from that. You know, wow. I'm teaching Connor to be a student of the Bible. And he just, you know, two. He's a big two, but he's two. And that just shows that we can raise, and God said you can take a child. We can raise a child up to be a king, or we can raise a child up to be a mass murderer. Seeing some of that demonstration, when you mothers out there tell your daughter that they are no good, they just like somebody else, and that somebody else was no good in your eyesight, don't mean it wasn't, but that's your eyesight, your interpretation, then you're not giving her a role to follow. You're really creating a monster, and when you create that monster, you know, like we're seeing some activity now, because we tell children, if you do a loser, if you don't do this, you are that. And it messes with their psyche. So I'm saying to you mothers, go back. Like Deborah said, may not be, you don't have to know it all. But that's why we're on the radio every Saturday morning, to help fill in the gap. And we got something coming that is going to help you come on, and you'll get what you need. But we all have to be a student, and we all are daughters. And that's why we're still learning. Even though we play dual roles, we're still mother and daughter. And even Deborah, with you not birthing a child, God's telling you, I'm holding you responsible, because he said and to me when I was writing the book, Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. I didn't want every daughter to have a child, because some daughters, I want them to be mother of many. Because a mother, when she has her own child that comes through her, that child is going to be first, regardless of how many foster children you have. Come on, let's just keep it real. Because that child came through you. You can love them all, but that's the child that you birthed. And God don't want you to love one no better than he loved the other. So he got you saying, I'm holding you responsible, because you're going to be mothering all of these young people. I raised you up for that. So, any last words, ladies?
Yeah, that's powerful. That's powerful with Deborah and being the student, and now it's our time as daughters to be the listener, and in order that we can serve others, because now the responsibility is on us. Our mother's responsibility is on her until we become a certain age, and then now we are to grow up so we can be the teachers of many. And one of the greatest things. And I wanted to share this, that one of my students called me wanting me to speak to his girlfriend, who's a daughter and a mother, because she was struggling. And so I haven't taught this young man for several years now, but he keeps me in his phone because he always calls when he's struggling to exist. So just being able to plant seeds of love for that young man. Like you said, God sometimes don't give us, like I don't have a daughter, but sometimes God gives us many of what he didn't give us. And I feel like I have so many children out there, daughters that I don't even know, young ladies that I don't even know. This young lady called me. I don't know her from a can of paint. My first time being introduced to her, I spoke to her, referred her to Dr. Fletcher because she's struggling. But that's the teaching that I left with this young man several years ago in order, and he has my number to this day. My students called me to this day because despite my own injuries, I rose up and became a better daughter so I can be a mother figure to so many young people. And I just love that aspects of teaching because God allows me to pour love out to so many young people that may not have that mother piece. And that is the greatest gift that God could have ever chose me to do, is to be there for these young people when they're struggling to exist. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Well, ladies, we over time. Deborah, did you want to say anything?
No, good stuff, good stuff. Happy Thanksgiving to all the people. Yeah, let me say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I just want, you know, in spite of what we're going through with COVID and all the other systemic racial issues, all that, God is still God. God is still good. And let us draw near to God, not away from God, because God is able to do everything and anything but fail. So just be thankful, give God thanks, because he didn't have to wake us up, but he did. And I thank God for allowing us again to be on this platform to speak to people and more so speak to ourselves, because I'm not exempt from the message, because my ears is closer to my mouth than my mouth is to your ears. So thank you, Lord,
Amen.
For allowing us to speak to us. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Amen. Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I know we will speak, but audience, thank you guys for listening, and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. And what I want to say to everybody out there, keep your mask on, wash your hands, keep your distance. I don't care if you're at grandmama's house, mama's house, stay away from your cousins, don't do no hugging, and that's going to help you protect them and yourself. Don't be too proud and take your mask off and get too relaxed. The enemy is running rampant to and fro. Put the blood over your door and do your part, and then God's going to protect you from the rest. I'll be right back.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, Deborah, I think Cynthia got dropped off somewhere or another. She got cut off. But anyway, you have a good Thanksgiving. God bless you. Tell your mom and everybody I said hello and happy Thanksgiving. And we'll talk maybe later on this week.
Okay, God bless you too. Thank you. Enjoy your day.
Same to you. Bye-bye.